From Matthew's Gospel in the 11th chapter. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And from the 19th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the children alone. And do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And from the Gospel of Luke in the 19th chapter, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." May God bless the reading of this, his holy word. Just like last week, we're going to hand out some cards today, and these say "inviting" on the front of them. And you might recall that that's the first word in our mission statement, inviting people to know Jesus, who empowers us to make a difference. This week, Kathy and I received a save the date invitation. Have you ever gotten one of those? Raise your hands if you got one of those. Okay. It's kind of like a pre-invitation, right? Okay. It was from our niece that her birth name is Nicolette, but we call her Nikki. And this is the oldest daughter of my late sister. And it is for her wedding next July in Colorado. So when we get this invitation from Nikki, what does it convey? Sure, it conveys information. It's got a beautiful picture on the front. It's like a postcard, and it's got a beautiful picture of the two of them, and they look so lovely and so in love, and he's a handsome man, and she's a beautiful young lady, and they have their two dogs there in the picture with them. And then on the back, it's got a picture of them standing in front of a lake. So there's these nice images, and it gives us information. It tells us what date to save and all those things. But what is that invitation really about? Is it just about dates and times and places? See, what it does is it shows a happy couple in love looking forward to celebrating that love in marriage. But it even goes deeper than that, because that invitation shows that they want to share their joy, their love with others. And they have chosen to invite those whom they love so that those whom they love can share in their joy. That's really what the invitation's about. Yeah, it gives information. But it's really saying, we want you to be a part of this part of our life because it's such a joyful occasion, and we want to share that joy with you, and we want that joy to be in you as we celebrate the beginning of our life together. Jesus tells a story like that in Matthew 22. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. And the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire." And see, so why is he enraged? Because he wants to share his joy with all these people. And they just can't even get the fact that he wants to share this joy with them. And so, many of you know this story. He goes on to, he sends his servants out. He sends out more servants and says, just invite people in the street. I have this joy that I want to share. And I tried to share it with those that were closer to me, but they didn't seem to want it. So I'm going to share it with others. Now that's a picture of the kingdom, see? God is throwing this wedding feast for his son, Jesus. And he's inviting those who have been part of the family, see? And they say, no, we're not interested. And so God says, well, I've got a whole lot more creation that I can invite. And he sends his servants out to invite all of them in. When that king sends out these invitations, yeah, it says slaves, but what are these people? They're ambassadors that go out in the name of the king, right? To extend that invitation. It's not their invitation to give, is it? It's the king's invitation, see? In much the same way, we're ambassadors for Christ. And so Jesus, we're going to talk in a minute about the kinds of invitations Jesus gives. Well, we don't give those invitations. We're ambassadors who go out to share Jesus' invitation with others so that they would be able to share in his joy. Now, one of the things we need to think about is that God's been expressing these invitations to relationship throughout all of history. In the promise with Abraham, all the way back in the 12th chapter of Genesis. Not very far into the Bible, right? 12 chapters in. In that promise, God says, "Go to the land that I will show you, and I will bless you." See, God's inviting Abraham into that blessing. And he says, "And I'll bless those who bless you." So now he's even inviting those that bless Abraham into that blessing. in the promise to Moses, he says, you will be my people and I will be your God. See, he's inviting people into that relationship to share in his joy. And Jesus continues to express these invitations throughout the Gospels. Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Let me ask you, are you carrying the burdens of life in a way that it's crushing you? That it's burying you under the weight of those burdens? I know. Give them to Jesus and find rest. Let me ask you this, are you burdened with the greatest burden of all? The burden of not having any burdens to lay down before Jesus? Not needing his rest? And thus carrying possibly the burdens of pride and judgment and self-righteousness, not even knowing that those burdens are heavy. Give them to Jesus and find rest. Remember, Jesus even invited Nicodemus, a religious man, right? One of the class of religious leaders. And Nicodemus, he wasn't so sure that he needed this stuff, but something compelled him to come to Jesus and speak to Jesus. Now, he struggled to understand what Jesus was talking about because Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can a man go back in his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus says, you, a teacher of the law, and you don't understand any of this? See, that's what I mean. Sometimes we carry the burden of not even thinking that we have a burden. But we know later that Nicodemus didn't stay that way. Accept the invitation and share in his joy. And then we read, let the children come to me. Jesus invites all of us to come to him as children with open and accepting hearts that see through all the chatter that blinds us, all the stuff that hardens us and closes us off. But in this invitation, Jesus is also telling those around him, don't hinder anybody from receiving this invitation. This relationship is not just for you. In fact, if you try and keep it only for yourself, you're going to lose it because you're not going to understand what it's about. So don't become a stumbling block for anyone that desires to come to me. Accept the invitation and help others accept the invitation so that we can all share in his joy. Jesus invites us into discipleship. Think about the rich young ruler in Luke 18 who comes to Jesus and says, what must I do? And Jesus says, well, obey the commandments. And he goes, yep, I'm doing that. Check. Got it covered. And Jesus says, okay, there's one more thing. Give everything you have away and come follow me. See, Jesus invites him into a close following relationship of discipleship, of growth. But that growth comes with struggle. And sadly, the end of the story as we know it is that he goes away sad because he has much and doesn't want to give it up. And I picture Jesus even more sad as he watches him walk away. But Jesus invites us into discipleship. Jesus also invites us into discovery. He says, come and see when some folks that follow John the Baptist say, where are you living? Where are you at? We just need to be around you. And he says, come and see. And then after Philip begins to follow Jesus, he goes and talks to Nathanael. And Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And what does Philip say? Come and see. Come and see. And so we have this invitation, and we have a wonderful example there where Jesus gives the invitation, come and see. And then what happens? One of the disciples then gives that same invitation. Come and see. Come and see this Jesus whom I've met. Jesus also invites us into relationship. In John 15, he says, abide in me and I in you. And he's talking about the vine and the branches there in those passages in John 15. And he basically says, if you're going to bear fruit, you need to be connected to me. So you need to be connected to me, and I need to be connected to you. You need to gain from what I can feed into you so that you can bear fruit. And I need to be in you so that my love can pour through you and bear fruit that does good. Jesus also invites us to grace. Think about in John 8, we have the woman who is caught in adultery. We never hear about the guy caught in adultery, but we hear about the woman caught in adultery. And Jesus offers grace. Where are your accusers after he's had them all rush off in a tiff? And she says, they aren't here. And he says, well, then neither do I accuse you. But he does make sure she understands that he knows what's going on. And he says, go and sin no more. So Jesus invites us into grace and forgiveness. Jesus invites us into a life without worry and fear. In Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, don't worry about what you wear or what you eat or any of these things. And then how does he follow that up? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. See? Don't live with anxiety. Don't live with fear. Don't live with worry. Seek after me. Don't seek after the answers to all those other questions. Seek after me. You know, sounds an awful lot like, ye who are weary and heavy laden, you know, come to me and I will give you rest. See? So Jesus invites us into a life without worry and fear. Jesus also invites us into transformation, and we see that in the story of Zacchaeus. You know, what I love about that story is that you almost picture this happening before they ever get to Zacchaeus' house. You know, because people are bugging Jesus on the way, you know, like, nah, 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 you know, and in his ear, like, why are you inviting Zacchaeus? Right? As they're walking along, and all he's done, the whole invitation to Zacchaeus that we hear is, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to lunch with you today. Right? He just invites him into just a moment of time with Jesus, with himself, see? That's all he does. And just being in his presence, Zacchaeus knows. Zacchaeus knows his sin, and he knows the truth, and he knows the answer. So Jesus invites us into transformation. Jesus also invites us to the empowerment of springs of living water that flow through us and then flow out of us, so that others will have that living water. And he invites us into a spirit of worship that is in spirit and in truth. And we find that in the story in John 4 with the woman at the well, where the disciples go off. You ever notice how often the disciples go off? And then Jesus is just there with somebody. See? And he offers her living water. And he talks to her about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Jesus also invites us into mission. Now there's, you know, we know the Great Commission, but that's not as much of an invitation as that's a command. That's a call. Okay? This is what you're to do. But there is invitation into that mission. In Mark 1, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And why is that important? I mean, we can just say it's a figure of speech. Okay, I'm going to have you fish for people, right? But what he's saying is right now your job is an important job. You fish for food and you feed people, right? Just like all our farmers and ranchers and fishermen and all these folks that do stuff to produce the food that we eat to nourish our bodies. But Jesus is saying, I have an even higher calling for you, because I need you to go out and find people and not just feed their stomachs with fish. You're going to go out and fish for them in a way that you're going to feed their souls, because you're going to tell them about me. And they're going to find peace and joy and love. And you're going to feed that part of them that no fish can nourish, that no kind of food can nourish. You know, Jesus talks about that a lot in John 6. He talks about, I am the bread of life. And he says, you know, if you really knew who I was, you wouldn't come at me looking for bread. You'd come after the bread that gives life. It's a different kind of bread. And even with the woman on the well, the disciples come back and they're like, man, are you okay? You haven't eaten all day. And he's going, I've got food you don't know anything about. See, that's what he's calling the disciples to understand. And through that time, he's teaching them that. He's saying, when you fish for men, you're going to be offering them food that the world doesn't know anything about. Folks, that's the invitation that we've been invited into. And it's also the mission that we've been invited into, is to be those ambassadors that carry those invitations out to the whole world, so that people will know that food that the rest of the world doesn't know anything about. So that people will know the peace that the rest of the world doesn't know anything about. That folks will know love that the rest of the world doesn't know anything about. There's also something that we really need to understand about all of these invitations that I just named. Jesus is invited in every one of these cases. He's invited people to come just as they are. But he doesn't invite them to stay that way. But he doesn't say, get your act together and then follow me. He says, follow me and I will make you. See? He doesn't say, learn how to fish for people and then you can come follow me. See? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Seek, ask, and knock, and I will come in. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and I will add all these things unto you. Jesus invites us to come as we are. Remember who Jesus invited, folks. There ain't a whole lot of saints on the list. Now, I'm not saying he didn't invite saints, but I think a lot of them he knew weren't going to listen. He invited tax collectors, fishermen, a woman gathering water that no one else would even hang out with, rich rulers, poor widows, criminals, remember the guy on the cross? Okay. Pharisees, Nicodemus, adulterers. He invited the weak and the strong alike. He invited those in the in crowd right alongside the outcasts. Folks, we don't have to get all this stuff figured out before we come. We come, and Jesus makes us. Jesus gets it all figured out in us. You know, doesn't that actually make sense? Jesus knows what we need, right? But we try and do it, and then we wonder why it doesn't work. See? So we come as we are, and Jesus takes care of the rest. You know, I'll throw this out there. I know it's a funny saying, but Jesus says, you catch them, I'll clean them. Okay? You catch them, I'll clean them. We don't have to get our act together before Jesus invites us to come and see. We come and Jesus helps us find our way. All that Jesus asks of us is that we come. And that we come with at least a crack of open heart for him to reach into so that we can receive what he's offering. So when we invite people to know Jesus, we're inviting them to share in his joy. And Jesus continues today to invite people into relationship, into healing, into transformation, into mission, into discipleship, into transformation, into worship, and into empowerment. So I'll say it again, when we invite people to know Jesus, we are inviting them to share in his joy. You know, I'm really looking forward to my niece's wedding. I look forward to sharing her joy. How much greater is the joy that Jesus desires to share with us as we come and see, and as we invite others to come and see. Those inviting cards that you have, hold on to one. Keep it in your purse, keep it in your wallet, keep it in your pocket, because it's a reminder of what we're about. On the back, there's just some things that help us be reminded about what we're about when we're inviting people to know Jesus. See, part of the result is, yes, we're going to invite them to come here, but that's not what we're really doing. We're not inviting them to come to, quote, our church, because this isn't our church anyway. This is his church. See, but what we're doing is we're inviting people into a relationship with Jesus. We're inviting people into his joy. Why? Because it's not our invitation. It's his invitation. We are his ambassadors. And so take as many of those cards as you want. Hand them out to people. When they say, well, what are you about in your faith? This is what I'm about in my faith. Jesus has invited me into his joy, and I'm extending that invitation to you on his behalf. Give him a card. That's a lot easier, right? Give him a card. When we invite people to know Jesus, we are just extending Jesus' invitation to enter into his joy, his rest, his peace, his love, his hope, his transformation. Those are all his invitation. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling to you and to me. Let us be open to every invitation that Jesus gives to us. Amen? Amen. Amen.